Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Well, 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 we have a jam-packed episode today, including the Rossini Chronicles. Boy, do I got a lot to catch charge up on when it comes to the petite Spitfire Domino beat reporter for the National Football League, plus a new technology rolled out by the U.S. military to retrieve our downed service member from that shot down fighter jet that I'm not sure I believe it, Charge, but it's being reported far and wide. So we got stuff to talk about today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Starting to really dive into my NFL prep. I've been back to Minnesota due to the Vikings draft party, rolling up my sleeves and trying to figure out what every team is going to take. That is that part's been awesome. And new for me this week, and we don't have to spend time on it, I am now a law-abiding citizen of Virgin, Utah, in compliance with city statutes requiring firearm ownership.
You are now a Second Amendment purist. God bless you. For those that had not heard this on a previous Charge episode when he first moved to lovely Virgin, Utah, on the old town records way back in the day, they said that every citizen must own a firearm as part of being in the town for obvious yes. self-defense and keeping the civic order from ne'er-do-wells and bandits and trail thieves, you name it. That law is not really enforced, is it?
Well, nobody, you know, we've been here now 10 months. Nobody's come door to door demanding to see our handgun. But I can tell you this much. Every single person that I know in Virgin, when the topic has come up, they've all got guns. Everyone's got at least one, and most have got a small militia in their house. And these people love it, and there are all these amazing places to go and do practice ranges out in the mesas. And so people go out in their side-by-sides, they find their favorite place, they put up their targets, and they start shooting away.
They start, pew, pew.
Guess what? Our crime rate in Virgin, basically zero.
Yeah,
because
right.
you are taking your life in your own hands anytime you go into somebody else's house.
That's right. Well, good for you. So what did you get? What do you got?
I got so my neighbor has, as I mentioned, small arsenal. And so we tried a lot. He was nice enough to show me all kinds of different guns. But I had never really even shot a gun before. By the way, my marksmanship is not half bad for somebody who has no training and no
charge. Charge, we're 30 seconds into your rambling. I just wanted to know what you had. Just get to the guns.
This is so typical of you and me.
Get to the gun. Cut to the fucking chase.
Everybody said, your listeners all said, when I first moved to Virgin, they said, go with whatever gun feels natural. That was the advice of your listeners, your one percenters. And I followed that. My wife and I decided that we wanted a SIG, and we got a Fuse specifically. And it's a slightly longer bigger handgun than most, and it's a 9mm, and we got a little red dot Body. Scope on it. So, you know, maybe that helps a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, that was so
okay.
Now dipped our toe.
Okay, yeah. So you don't have a Kimber Pro Carry ACP 40 or whatever this is. I want to introduce you to Tex Grebner. Do you know who Tex Grebner is?
No.
Tex Grebner is a legend from back in the day when somebody sent me this YouTube video. Here he is right here. You can see old Tex. This guy had a YouTube channel. May still have a YouTube channel for all I know. This is the original video here.
Howdy, folks. Tex Grebner here. Tex Grebner Outdoors. I'm not making this video for sympathy, and I'm not making it to be ridiculed. I experienced a negligent discharge of my Kimber Pro Carry 2 1911 45 ACP.
my Kimber Pro Carry 2 911 14 ACP.
A negligent discharge? Man, I had one of those last night at about 2 a.m.
Hey-o. All right, so here, get this. I just love his weird accent. Howdy, folks. Tex Grebner here with Tex Grebner Outdoors.
Hey, folks. Tex Grebner here with Tex Grebner Outdoors. I'm not making this video for sympathy, and I'm not making it to be ridiculed. I experienced a negligent discharge of my Kimber Pro Carry 2 1911 45 ACP. As you see, I'm wearing a hospital bracelet. The footage that I'm about to show you is what actually happened.
Oh! That's gonna sting.
I just fucking shot myself.
Wow, he handled it pretty well. Wow.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's gonna sting. I thought he did. I would have been down on the ground rolling around. He shoots himself in the leg and he's walking on it. That is pretty bad.
But, watch what old Tex Grebner Outdoors is doing. He's standing inches away from a cardboard target with a printout of a bad guy pointing a gun right at him, and he is practicing his quick draw technique if he were to ever encounter a guy who has already drawn on him. He wants to be quick enough and nimble enough to basically be Doc Holliday from Tombstone and say, "I'm your Huckleberry," and shoot the other guy dead, and here's what happens.
I just fucking shot myself.
For listeners who can't see the video,
oh, son of a bitch!
He's standing like 3 inches from the target.
Yeah, because he's like envisioning this incredible scenario he hopes someday happens. I hope some guy pulls a gun on me and I've got my Kimber Pro Carry ACP 911 ready to go. Bam. Ah, damn. I just shot myself. Tex Grebner here with Tex Grebner Outdoors. I'm not making this to mock me or for ridicule. This is what happened.
And he's been ridiculed for 10 years since putting up the video.
Well, listen, kudos to him. He got the asset, and it did get him some viral fame. Got him a bunch of followers and listeners. I don't know if let me just Google Tex Grebner and see what he's doing these
days.
Where
is he today? What, yeah.
I mean, chances are he's dead. Tex Grebner Outdoors, YouTube, 48,000 subscribers. So,
Not bad.
Not nothing, but yeah. Goes by TGO. Oh, wow. Tex Grebner's got himself in shape as I look at this. He's got
really?
1 hour extreme daily workout with Tex Grebner. Warrior conditioning workout. He's decided to become a workout guy. Old Tex Grebner. So went from shooting himself in the leg, trying to be a tough guy, to being a workout guy. So we should probably get Tex on, you know?
We should. He could give me some tips. Now, my wife does not want me to handle the gun until we have taken, like, firearm safety 101.
But I just want to go out and shoot some stuff. Whoa. Your woman is now telling you, certified gun-owning American male, what you can and can't. You can't even touch your own gun? Come on. Can't handle a gun. I'm not saying to. I'm not saying spin it around on your finger like you're. By the way, you ever see the movie Tombstone? Probably not. You don't really see a lot of movies.
I do watch. I watch a fair number.
A fair number of movies. Okay.
I have seen Tombstone, but years, 30 years ago when it came out.
Okay. Do you remember the Tombstone scene in which Doc Holliday was confronting, forget the other guy's name, and the guy pulls a gun and starts slinging it around and doing all the tricks in the poker saloon, and to respond while he was completely drunk himself and dying of pneumonia, he spun a cup around his finger, mocking it in return?
I do not recall that.
Okay. That was a good scene.
Sorry.
Johnny Ringo.
I'm going to take...
Johnny Ringo. He's like, you look like death warmed over. And Doc Holliday says, why, I'm in my prime. Such a good movie.
This is the I'm Your Huckleberry. That started I'm Your Huckleberry. I still don't know why Huckleberry. To me, that doesn't make any sense. But
I looked it up one day. I looked it up one day because it is such a weird and antiquated term. It's a 19th century American idiom meaning I'm the right person for the job, or I'm your man, or I'm up for the challenge. Mm. And it was popularized by Val Kilmer playing Doc Holliday in Tombstone, 1993. It's related to the phrase a huckleberry over my persimmon, which meant something was just a little beyond someone's reach or ability. Well, that's a huckleberry beyond my persimmon. The shit they said back in the 19th century was something else, right?
Yeah. How long we could have survived? You know, our version of English would not go very far in 100 years ago or 150 years ago, 200 years ago. Probably people are like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right. Here, let me.
Tombstone suffered from its relative proximity to Unforgiven, which is arguably the greatest Western ever made. Clint Eastwood.
Agreed.
At the height of his powers.
Agreed.
And here's Unforgiven. You know, then comes Tombstone. It felt like practically a kid's movie after that, because Unforgiven is just so gritty.
And what is the great line from Unforgiven? Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it.
That's
one of the ultimates right there. All right, I'm gonna show you this because, you know, you need to see it. I'll maybe push the clip out on social media. For those of you listening to the podcast, you're just going to have to suffer through this for a quick hot minute.
Us Latin, darling. Evidently, Mr. Ringo's an educated man. Now I really hate him.
What's it, Johnny?
I hear he's real fast.
See? Why don't you do that with your gun in front of Roxy? Spinning around like that.
She'd dive under a table if I spun the gun around my finger like that.
Well, as long as it was not loaded. Now, these are old, heavy Colt 45s. And they were prone to misfires, by the way. So Doc Holliday takes the rest of his little tin cup of whiskey. Great Kurt Russell in that movie. Powers Booth may rest in peace. Yeah, and so they all laugh, and it diffuses the situation, and nobody got killed that night.
Nobody got shot.
Nobody got killed that night, but there's always tomorrow. Oh, man. Charge, I'm so happy for you. Good for you. You are living the old West dream out there, but with modern toys, like a side-by-side, as well as
That's right.
other cool toys. One day you'll get
no
that,
horse.
No horse, yeah. One day you'll get that personal drone, that quadcopter that I showed you.
Oh,
those are coming. They're just not, we're not ready for them yet. Would you agree?
And what you're talking about is basically a version of a jetpack, personal jetpack, but it's drone powered.
Right.
There's a guy who's got four drones hooked up in, and then he's in a suit and the drones lift him and he's moving all the drones with his hands.
Well, it's one drone. It's a single quadcopter pack with the computer that stabilizes it, provides just enough power to keep it level and everything else. So, yeah. And a guy like made it for his own farm, I saw. But there was that other personal quadcopter I sent you the video. We talked about it on a previous podcast that you're like, I so want one of those. And I'm like,
I
yeah,
do you want one.
Yeah, of course you want one, but we'd kill ourselves in them, you know?
Yes. Yes. And that, you know what? I'm okay with that risk. I'm ready to take the risk for personal flight. I want to be the weirdo in the neighborhood who does it first. I want to be buzzing my neighborhood in my quadcopter drone suit, and I want to be going up, you know, like going up the mesas and all the places that are hard to reach. I want to be the first one to do it. Here's what I know for sure. It's not going to be any of the ladies in my neighborhood. This is stupid guy stuff. When you are strapping into a drone-powered suit and flying yourself around the neighborhood, knowing that if these drones run out of power, you run into a tree, whatever, you might be dead. You might break a leg, your neck, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
But guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, this is true hold my beer idiocy at its finest.
Yes. I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'm that idiot.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right, let's move on. Diana Rossini. She is one of the more prominent NFL reporters. She used to work at ESPN. She took a big check to go work for The Athletic, which is part of the New York Times. She remains both still relevant on television, doing many interviews. She may have her own podcast, videocast, YouTube, but once you're off the ESPN stage, as it were, on television, you're at a sort of a lower level of exposure or a lower level of familiarity. But look, I only know her from a few sort of ricochet interactions through the years, mostly at the Super Bowl. I know many people know her and like her quite well because she started her career here in D.C. More on that in a second. She is a hard-charging, spry, energetic, full of brass and sass Italian girl from New Jersey. And I love that about her, and I respect her hustle, okay? That said, this latest thing with Vrabel should not shock anybody because there's history with her doing things off the books with those she is covering in the NFL, coaches and players, that is not exactly a hidden secret. And it goes back to her days in Washington. Now, let's talk about the Vrabel thing. Let's say you're in those photos, not Vrabel, and Roxy sees them. And you tell her, babe, we were there with a group of people. It's not what it looks like. We were there hiking. Vrabel was there hiking. This was nothing. We're just professional friends. What would Roxy say?
She would say, well, Steve Zabin is your friend. How many times have you interlocked hands with Steve Zabin?
Fingers. The finger interlocked.
Right. Yes. 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 That we, you and I have never shaken hands with interlocked fingers before. You know, we give man hugs, not the sensual hug that mm-hmm. is in the photo. And so, yeah, Roxy would not buy that.
No,
I don't think I could possibly make that excuse and expect her. I would like to think I didn't marry someone dumb enough to go for that.
Thank you. What a great take that is. Ring-a-ding-ding, people. Charged with the take of the month here, which is you wouldn't want to be married to somebody so dumb that would believe you if you told them, oh, no, that pictures of us in the hot tub, by the pool, on the rooftop, hugging each other with no one around, holding hands, fingers interlocked with nobody around. No, it's not what you think. If someone believes that, they're the dumbest person ever, and you probably wouldn't want to be with them. Now, whether they care or whether they decide, that's it, you cheated, I'm out, we're getting divorced, is a separate question. You don't want to be married to somebody so dumb to go, oh, okay.
Don't need to change anything then. That's okay.
So the New York Post in their page 6 revels in this kind of stuff because, you know, they're a tabloid. And their rival is what? The New York Times. So being The Athletic is a New York Times property, this is absolute catnip for them. Exclusive photos obtained by Page 6 appear to show, that's the lawyers there, the New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel and the New York Times top NFL reporter holding hands and hugging at a luxurious hotel. Vrabel and Diana Rossini, former ESPN anchor on their flagship SportsCenter, who now holds the official title of senior NFL insider at the gray ladies sports publication, The Athletic. Notice how the Post sticks in that knife, the gray lady.
Great lady.
We're spotted 2 weekends ago at Ambiente in Sedona, Arizona. You know how nice Sedona is.
Sedona's very nice. It's a dark sky city. It is. It's nestled in the mountains. It is. It's not far from. It's not that far from me, and geographically very similar. It's very. I wouldn't. You know, you and I would not go to Sedona, right? If you and I were going to meet
it's
up,
it's not a bro trip kind of a place.
Correct.
It's not even a family kind of a place. Like, you can take your kids, and some people do, but it's pretty sedate because there's no water parks there. Hell, there's one McDonald's in Sedona, Arizona, and you would probably miss it driving by because they don't even let them have the typical color palette of McDonald's with the red and the yellow sign. It has to fit in. It's like a sign. It says McDonald's, but it's in like a weird muted blue and wood on the side of a very low slung McDonald's. That's how strict they are about.
You know, and you can't have the big neon signs because it's a dark sky city.
Or lighted signs. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. You can have dim lighting, but there's some criteria, and then everything goes dark at like 9 o'clock. Everything's dark.
Okay. So this is not, this is in Sedona. This is not in Phoenix where they were having the owners meetings a week later. This is 2 hours up the road. Right. And the resort, the Ambiente, is a boutique resort set against the breathtaking Brins Mesa mountain range. Furthermore, the Page 6 spy tells us the pair, both married to other people, had breakfast on the patio of the hotel restaurant around 10:30 a.m. on Saturday before spending a leisurely hour or so at the pool and lounging side by side in a hot tub. The spy spotted Vrabel and Rossini again that evening in the private rooftops of one of the hotel's bungalows which feature glass walls offering panoramic views of the state's famed Red Rock formations. The roofs are only accessible, Charge, from the two-person bungalows themselves.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
In other words, the rooftop photos of them, it was not on the common area of the resort. And the two-person bungalows cost up to $2,160 a night.
I was just looking, and that's at the Ambiente Sedona reservations page. If you would like to stay there tonight,
yes,
it is, in fact, $2,200 to stay there.
Probably without taxes and resort fees on top of it either.
They should add the $49.99 resort fee at the top of it.
Photos of the two photos show the two hugging at sunset, weaving their fingers together as they stand face to face. The spy said the pair briefly danced together as well. Both Rossini and Vrabel insist they were friends, and say they simply weren't visible in the pictures. That they were there with friends, they say, and the friends were not there in the pictures. Yeah, but you were on a bungalow rooftop. You got bungalow busted, is what you got. A source close to Rossini said she was staying at the hotel during a hiking trip with two female pals. One of Rabel's friends told Page Six that they and the coach drove up to Sedona for the day with another pal, and they all drove back to their own hotel some 2 hours away after hanging out with Rossini and her gang. Yeah, we're
okay,
just
so,
all friends.
They just happened to be there out of all the cities in America and all the hotels, including hotels that cost $2,300 a night.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to be in the same hotel, and they're friends.
Yeah.
They describe themselves as friends. I mean,
sure.
This happens all the time to me when I stay at $2,300 a night hotels. My friends just happen to be there. It's not a coincidence. That's probabilities, Abe.
I have rich friends like myself. They also like $2,000 a night, you know, bungalow hotels up in Sedona, Arizona. Vrabel was attending a scouting event at Arizona State University down in Tempe before traveling 125 miles north to the Ambiente. Because, you know, Vrabel's a big hiker. He loves to get out in nature.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking meathead football coach. You think a meathead football coach like him really wants to get out there and go walking around on the dusty trails looking for a red-breasted sapsucker? No, I don't think so. The adults-only Ambiente prides itself on being a romantic getaway, boasting on its website about 158 proposals that took place in the thousands of anniversaries and honeymoons that have been celebrated subsequently at the hotel. After being seen with Rossini, Vrabel headed to the Biltmore Hotel in Phoenix, also suite, but it's in the middle of Phoenix, for a meeting of the NFL Competition Committee, a group of owners and coaches who oversee the game's rulebook. So this is everything now makes a lot of sense. Who has been reporting the most about AJ Brown to the New England Patriots? Diana Rossini. Who else prior to Vrabel getting to New England had the most Tennessee Titan related scoops? Diana Rossini. Who was accused point blank on social media back when she worked in D.C. at NBC4 by Scott McLuhan's wife? McLuhan was the then general manager of the Redskins, which was a whole farcical episode that I won't get into. He was pretty much a guy who knew he had an alcohol problem, and he didn't get sober, like truly clean and sober. He just said, well, it's under control. And he joined the drinkingest club ever, which was Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and their front office. And Jay Gruden was also constantly drunk around town. Okay. So basically Scott McLuhan's wife, Jessica, went on Twitter and blasted the fuck out of Diana Rossini, saying, essentially, stop sleeping with my husband to get scoops. The tweets were quickly taken down, but they are saved by the internet for prosperity or posterity. And I sent you those. These are collected by, I believe, Black Sports Online. Yeah. They accused Rossini of being McLuhan's, quote, side chick. Here's one for you. Ready? At Diana ESPN, please tell us how many BJs you had to give to get this story, and did they laugh at you before or after? Wow.
Oh,
Another one. I'm pretty sure this info is coming from my husband to his new side chick, Diana. It's confirmed. So, yeah.
I would have had more respect for both of them if they just would have owned up to it, because it's so obvious. Everybody already knows. The denial is absurd, and everybody knows it's absurd. And so I understand why it's not easy to do that, but you're not telling people anything they don't know. And I don't think this one's going away like some others have. Who's the Amazon Thursday night woman who admitted she made up all her made up sideline reports? She didn't have anything good. She would just make up her sideline reports.
That was Erin Andrews, and she went to UCSB. I should know her name at the top of my head. Carissa Thompson. Carissa Thompson admitted to, yeah.
Carissa Thompson.
I sometimes make things up. If I don't have time to actually talk to the coach, I'll just sort of fabricate something that is sufficiently generic that'll do the trick. A lot of people lost their damn minds over that. And they're you can't do that. You too were very, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. This is like journalism school 101. You can't make up your sideline report. And there was zero recrimination for that. She suffered no consequences to it. She's still on the big panel. She's the one woman, I think, that's on the Amazon Thursday night panel. And that's always bugged me that she got away with this. I don't know if Rossini's going to get away with this. It's harder to get away with, I think, because Vrabel's on the other side of it. It's double tantalizing in a way that the Carissa Thompson one was not as thrilling. Now, I'm a journalism school guy. I'm not proud of that because it's an easy major to get, but I've always felt like there should be some standards. I remember, are you old enough to remember Linda Ellerbe and controversy?
Okay, I need to stop you for a second and say you're talking about journalism. I say sideline reporting is not journalism. It's show business. It's a show. They are there to just look good and be physically present on the sideline to then give a little spice and a little flair of, hey, the head coach is alive and breathing. Here's how I'm going to prove it. And they stick a mic in front of his face, and he answers a very generic question. That's all it is.
But you can't.
It's showbiz. Yeah, it's not actual journalism.
Nobody that has a public forum can go say that I talked to the coach. Coach said this when you didn't talk to the coach, and the coach didn't say it. You can't pretend and put words into somebody's mouth. Can't do that for anybody. Couldn't do that for me. You know, Diana Rossini can't say, yep, talk to Paul Georgian, and he said this about anything. You can't do that in a public forum. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Journalism or not.
All right, so both people look worse for it. Vrabel, obviously, because, hey, you know what? Football's a competitive sport. You're supposed to be keeping your own stuff as close to the vest as possible. And, by the way, you are married, so... if you're going to cheat on your wife, maybe don't do it with somebody who's covering the NFL. For Rossini, it looks bad because obviously her credibility is compromised even further by this, if anyone still cares about it. But it's not anything that shocks me. And I've talked to many women who are in the business, television, media, reporting, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the Sage Steels of the world, Carol Maloney, who has been in DC, who knew Diana when she was here. And they're like, look, this shit makes all of us look worse because not only do we have to deal with the perception that we're all sleeping with the coaches and the players when that's definitely not true, but on top of that, the ones that are banging them, they're getting the good information, Charge. They are getting better scoops. So on the one hand, it's a double-edged whammy for the other women trying to do it straight. And I can understand the frustration.
Right,
that's the
problem. Right, if I'm Courtney Cronin, who I think is just great. She covered the Vikings for a while. She's been doing the Bears for now five or six years.
Courtney Cronin's great.
Ascending star.
I like her a lot.
She's awesome at her job.
She's smart. She's got an edge, and she's quite attractive. So it's a whole package.
I would be so disappointed. And it's not her fault, of course. course. And, you know, and I just think, you know, you're already, there are already people for whom that you have an uphill battle. And this is exactly the kind of thing that erodes confidence in female reporters, and they don't deserve it.
Yeah. Are you there, Church?
I am. You cut out for just a second.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll just take care of that in post-production.
Thank you.
Is it still rolling? It is still rolling. Okay, good. All right. Well, there's now stuff surfacing from back in the day that makes you go, oh, wait a minute, including a clip of Rossini on ESPN kind of bagging on her so-called average husband.
Yes.
And again, I'm not, who knows what their marriage is, right? But you listen to this, and I'm going to play it for you right now, and you're like, okay, this was weird.
One more chance to address this. It happened earlier in our program today. For those of you who weren't watching, Diana Rossini said this.
And I think we all do weird things when we're in love, and we overshare and overpost. And look, he's married. He's getting married to a beautiful actress. I'm married to someone average. I don't post a lot about him. If I was married to someone beautiful, I'd overpost too.
Now, this doesn't seem nice. We have put together photos of Diana's husband.
Here that for is not to nice. See
so you can make some amends on He's national television.
We're average together. And you know what the worst part is? He sent me a text during that segment, not watching because he actually works for a living. And he said, good luck today. Be great on Get Up. So the guy's got a heart of gold. And here I am on national TV killing him. Look, we're average together, but he makes me above average because he married me. So I am so sorry. I need to really stop killing my husband on television. I'm going to be divorced by Christmas.
I think for all of us, it was the best moment on the show today.
It's Christmas.
And I wanted to make sure that at least we got that so we could sort of, the last thing in the world we want to do is pry couples apart on this program. We're all about bringing people.
All right. Now, if indeed she was doing with Vrabel what we all assumed she was doing, and with this clip as further evidence in the trial of, is she a complete bitch? What's your verdict at the end of the day? Well, you probably don't want to go that far. Yeah. All right, let me back off of that. I don't want to force you into a verdict you're not ready to declare, but I would say that she's very skilled at hiding with her bubbly personality some really crummy traits. How about that?
Yeah. Which, you know what, and that could be a lot of us. And you know, the public persona of us probably not quite as sterling as behind the scenes. And so, you know, I hate casting judgment, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to cost her a job. I think by the time football season, our attention span is 15 seconds long. And by the time football season rolls around, it's not going to matter. You know, we'll have forgotten and moved on to bigger and better things.
The thing about her that is fascinating is that facially, she's a four. I'm just calling balls and strikes here. She's a four. Like, she is not much. She is spry and fit and strong. I once saw, when I was at Radio Row, I saw her to get an interview with James Harrison of the Steelers. She challenged him to a push-up contest right there on the floor of the convention center. She got down there in her nice, neat, women's dress suit and knocked out a whole bunch of push-ups. I'm like, damn, girl's fit. But she has that dynamism to her that even though she's facially a four, the whole package, it's appealing. She has an appealing personality. She's pretty funny. There was a clip, I can't find it right now, where she told the story with Stu Gatz on Levitard about how her mom pranked her by claiming she knew that her husband had a girlfriend. That's why he's been so relaxed lately. And she did it. She did it in her mom's voice, like, oh, yeah, he's got a girlfriend now. He's so relaxed. It's all good. Just go with it, honey. Don't worry about it. And then she's like, just kidding. I'm pranking you. But anyway, this is the state of reporting on the NFL, all to do what? To get an an extra 15 minutes lead time maybe on a reserve safety being cut by the Atlanta Falcons? Like, you got to wonder, what are we really doing here, right?
Yes, yes. I don't know if you saw this one or not, but apparently Rossini during the NFL Combine reported that Max Crosby wanted to play for Mike Vrabel. I think I know the source.
Well, that's the thing. Any stories related to the Titans when he was there, Vrabel now, and or the Patriots from her, super compromised.
They're super compromised. And that's, you know, I just think in a perfect world with pure journalistic integrity, she'd be fired.
Well, yeah. And you know what? And unlike what I said about Carissa Thompson on television, on Amazon Prime, that's not journalism. She is squarely in the Big J journalism space. Yeah. Reporting on the NFL, supposedly unbiased, with ethical standards for how she obtains sources and everything else. But, you know, they say it's undefeated charge, and it is the thing that has launched 1,000 ships in war. And you know what that is. 'Tis poontang, my lord. It is a woman and her natural beguiling allure. And that's why nobody's really talking about the Nate Oates story down at Alabama. Do you know Nate Oates, the coach of Alabama's men's basketball team?
Not really. I don't know what you're referring to.
Nate Oates is admitting now he is engaged to an ex-staffer at Alabama.
Oh.
And that he quietly divorced his wife of 26 years after his wife beat cancer.
That's tough.
Yeah, tough.
That's not the lead story when you're recruiting. And you got, you know, you're going to that high school senior's house, sitting down with mom and dad, and you know, that's probably not how you start the recruiting.
The woman's
process.
Name is Alex Aceta, and she began working at Alabama Athletics in 2015 at the age of 30. Or no, I'm sorry, she's 30 now. She began working for Alabama when she was a student, okay? So she's been there a while. Now, I say this because, okay, he did get divorced, so at least there's that. And he did admit to it and get it out in the public, so at least there's that. But you compare that to Sharon Moore, who was also having a side piece, who was one of his sports information people, right, or bass football operations people up there at Michigan. That went horribly wrong because she wanted to break it off. It was deep underground without admitting to his wife. And then he lost his mind and went crazy and then stalked her and broke into her house and threatened to kill himself.
Right.
But the underlying principle is the same, which is men in power positions are going to sometimes stray. Some men, not all men, but it's just a tale as old as time.
It's risking a lot, and there are a lot of people that are willing to make that risk. And more often men than women, by the way. That will put that all in danger.
Takes two to tango, though. They say
it does,
women,
but we're talking about who's got the guys leverage their position, power, fame, notoriety to get the willing partner more than women do.
Yes. The best movie about what that dynamic would look like in reverse is, I think, the movie with Demi Moore called Disclosure, where she was the predatory boss babe who pretty much started a relationship with a male underling. Let me look this up. Did you ever see that movie?
No, and earlier I was like, no, don't say I don't watch movies. I watch plenty of movies. And then you bring up another movie, and I'm like, no, I haven't seen it.
Yep, Demi Moore with Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas, a senior executive at a cutting-edge technology corporation on the verge of releasing a new innovative product. And let's see here. A vamp from his past, Meredith Johnson, Demi Moore, swoops in, stealing his impending promotion, and then doubling down, suing him for sexual harassment. So this is sort of like I think this movie was made shortly after the success of Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction.
Oh, man. So it's that old. Okay. Yeah. That's like 30 years ago now. Yeah.
It's pretty good, now, though. Fucking hottest, though, and evil.
Have you seen Demi Moore in Landman?
No. How is she?
Unrecognizable. She's had so much work done that I didn't know it was Demi Moore through six episodes of Landman. I had no idea. Now she's not, she has a bit part in the show, but you would never know. You would never know. And meanwhile, here's Allie Larder.
Allie Larder is an unbelievable rocket.
Yes, and still is. Now, if she has also had work done, you can't tell. She just looks like somebody who has aged with astounding grace. She looks like the same person, and she looks every bit as smoking hot now as she did 30 years ago when she was in her supermodel prime.
Yeah.
But compared to Demi Moore, whole different. Demi doesn't even look like the same person.
All right, 5-minute close here because we're running out of time. Thank you, Charge, for being with us. You fly to Minneapolis after you come east. We're 1 week away, by the way, from Holy Fuck, the band experience of a lifetime, next Thursday in D.C. I've got my ticket. That's the band's name, Holy Fuck. No words, no lyrics, just loud sounds.
Just sounds. Yep, it's mad scientist rock. You know, here's my theory, Zabe. Because there's very little singing, you can't hate it. You might not like it, but
where music
goes off the rails for like a genre you don't like
is
when some dude's screaming into a microphone and you don't like the music. That makes it awful. Okay. I don't believe it might not be in your wheelhouse, but it won't be a hate thing. That's my hope anyway.
All right. So here we go. The downed F-15 pilot, or actually WSO, weapons systems officer. He was the second pilot in there, a second human asset inside the F-15. The downed WSO was found by many people, not just the military, but also the CIA, who allegedly, according to reports, used a tool never before revealed or admitted to called Ghost Murmur. What is Ghost Murmur? Well, it is something that Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works built and was heavily classified until now. It was able to find the American pilot hiding in the mountain crevice in Iran by detecting his heartbeat from several thousand miles in the sky.
I mean, think about that. First of all, I'm disturbed to learn that the CIA has this. I can't really come up with great examples of the CIA showing a lot of discretion with the tools at their disposal. I don't love the CIA's got this, but I'm reveling in the fact that they've actually done it. That you can, I mean, however much electromagnetic energy our heart gives out can't be much. And the fact that people can find it from miles away and monitor that is unbelievable. Now, at first, I'm like, this is not true. But we have since then had Hegseth has acknowledged it. Donald Trump has acknowledged it. So this is a real technology, which goes hand in hand with the Venezuela mission, in which they sent out some crazy sonic beam that caused everybody to start barfing their guts out and become violently disoriented and ill. We've got some badass weaponry that we had no idea about until we put it into action.
According to the reports, the device uses, or the, I don't know if it's a device or what, it's part of, is how large is this thing? What vehicle, what airframe does it sit in? What's the altitude it must fly at? What's its range? I don't know any of that because I've not read any more on this, but it claims to use quantum magnetometry to pick up the electromagnetic pulse of a human heart every time it beats. Then AI, they say, filters out everything else. So in other words,
right, filters out the noise.
Every deer, every coyote, every skunk, every groundhog, every fox, every squirrel, AI goes, nope, not a human heart. The pilot, call sign Dude 44 Bravo, was wounded, alone for 2 days, hiding in a crack in the mountain while Iranian forces searched for him on foot. America found him from the sky by listening to his chest. Here's the part, writes this one tweet about it, that should rewrite everything you think about privacy and power. This was Ghost Murmur's first operational use, meaning it's been sitting in a vault, tested, ready, waiting for a moment important enough to finally reveal it. They didn't show you this to impress you. They showed you this because the next person they use it on won't be a rescue.
Right. You know, if they needed to find Ted Kaczynski, right, in some shack in the woods, this is how they're going to do it now. And you know, again, it's the CIA. I don't trust them. I don't trust them with anything. But this is, this could be used for a lot of things that are pretty damn creepy. And let's only hope they don't use it against their own population.
To do what?
Well, anything. I don't want the CIA to be able to find people by heartbeat. I don't think that makes me the weirdo. I think that should be the default approach here, is that the CIA should not be tracking us by heartbeat.
Listen, I don't think they're going to track us. I do like it as a tool for tracking bad guys. But I am also, when you say you don't trust the CIA, here's what I also don't trust. I don't trust our government for telling the fucking truth, even when they're bragging about the shit they claim that they have. So to me, bragging about this now makes me think, okay, maybe. But like, why are you telling us? They didn't have to tell us this. Nobody would know that they used this if they didn't tell us. They could have just said, look, we used good old traditional encrypted beacons and our own understanding of where the plane was shot down to go find them. Like, you could, they could have said that. Why did they tell us? Probably because they want to scare other world leaders by saying we have this godlike ability to find you no matter where you are.
Yeah, that is very possible that this is, that it is, it's threatening. But I think it's probably real as well. Both things can be true. It can be some real technology. And also, we're trying to scare the hell out of anybody that wants to F with us, because we can find people by heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If this thing is real, then let's get it up over the woods of Oregon and find Sasquatch. Please. Can we find one fucking Squatch with this Ghost Murmur thing so we can finally have one? Put him in a cage, feed him, be ethical, but then put him on tour. We can all go see a genuine live Sasquatch, Bigfoot, in person, coming to the St. Louis Fair.
Let's assume Bigfoot dies by natural causes, and it would cost you $5,000 to get a Sasquatch steak. Would you pay it for the right to eat Bigfoot? $5,000, you get a Bigfoot steak.
Well, I don't know if it, I don't know if my stomach would agree with Squatch steak, but I'm sure it's probably tastes like meat, like delicious meat, properly prepared with perhaps a risotto reduction. But look, yeah, I'm down for some Squatch steak. I wouldn't pay over market price for it, that's for sure. Of course, my whole thing about UFOs is the same thing about Bigfoot and Sasquatch. My Sasquatch principle is this. If Squatch were real, we'd have found them dead on the side of the road a long time ago, because they would have taken too long to cross the road and gotten hit by a truck in the middle of the night. And their leg would be broken, and they'd be dead on the side of the road, or they'd fall off a rock, and they'd injure themselves. Or just they get old in their natural lifespan. How do they then dispose of their bodies if they're at all in any population size? There has to be male squatches, female squatches. They have to reproduce. Right? They have to have family, habitat, mating rituals, and you know, dynamic, and you know, ways to raise their kids and to wean their kids to make them independent. This is where now, DJ talks, if they were out there, we'd see them.
We would know by now. The days
we'd see a dead one.
The days of people find, you know, they're being anywhere meaningful on this earth where there haven't already been a lot of people walking around, pretty much over.
Yeah. All right, Charge, safe travels next week, and I can't wait to see you in D.C. We'll give you the Zabe reality tour of me growing up on the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, if you would want it. I don't know if you
I want to see the streets I grew up on. I want to do next week's Zabecast in person would be ideal.
We can do that.
We don't get to do enough of that.
Yep, and we'll do it here on the East Coast. Sounds good. Charge, you are the man, my friend. Thank you for staying with us today. Thank you for everyone who listened and download. As always, rate and review. We very much appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off.
Listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums.
Oh, get out. It is not.
It is so.
Stop lying, will you?
Take off, eh? Oh.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Beauty, eh?
Like magic, eh? It's coming in.
Well, that's
like... like it was sung by angels.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what?
Guess what?
What?
It's over.
Hey, God, that can't be.
It is, yeah, it is.
Because
what?
Well, hey, records are short.
No way.
Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So, good day. Good day.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.